Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, Raleigh, I think you prayed for a good and short sermon, if I got that. Now, and we'll just have to see whether God's going to answer that prayer or not. I don't know. But we will soon find out, won't we? So, well, our topic tonight is going to be unconventional evangelism. I actually thought we had kind of finished up. We've been going through the Baptist Faith and Message on Sunday nights, and we were in this section of the Baptist Faith and Message on evangelism and missions. And I kind of thought we finished it up last time, but there has been some request that when I dealt with that, I kind of left out some practical examples, and they thought that the practical examples would be helpful. Now, and so that's what's going to be tonight, is at least some of it going to be some of my practical examples for evangelism. And let me just start right off the bat here. I think maybe my examples are going to be more odd than practical. I don't know. We will find out, which is why I've entitled this Unconventional Evangelism. Or might just call it odd evangelism. Now, y'all know me, I'm an odd duck anyway, and so we're going to talk a little bit about some odd evangelism. And let me, just by way of a caveat, I may even get in trouble tonight with what I'm going to say, but I do want to say it because I want to encourage everybody here for you to take advantage of your unique situation in life. You know, God has put us all in different places, rubbing shoulders with different folks and different family. You know, I mean, we're all in different situations. And so God has put us in these different situations for us to take advantage of them. And it's going to be different for all of us. And so some of what I'm going to share tonight has just been my situation, which is going to look different from yours, but I'm going to share it, so hopefully to encourage you in the situation in life that you find yourself in. So we're going to talk just a little bit about some unconventional evangelism, and we will start off with some prayer. And again, as usually our Sunday nights are, if you have a question or you want to interact, please feel free. But we'll start off with some prayer here. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this day of rest, a day where we could come and be reminded that we rest from all of our works. We cease from our working because we rest in your Son's work in our behalf. But Lord, you have saved us by your works so that you can put us to work for your kingdom. And so by the power of your Spirit, might you enliven us and encourage us to be about kingdom business in all of our business in this world, that your gospel and your Son's name would be on our lips. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, unconventional evangelism. Can y'all hear me all right? Is that okay? Huh? All good? Okay. Let me start off by saying, and again, it's been a few weeks since we've talked about evangelism, but let me just begin by saying that not everyone has the gift of evangelism. I think this is true from Scripture. Not everyone has the gift of evangelism, but I think every Christian should be about evangelism. Evangelism in and of itself, in giving out, giving out the good news, giving out the gospel, evangelism is a gift. I would say it is a gift of the Spirit, and it is an office and a position in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, we read of Christ. He has given gifts to his people and gifts to his church. And it says of Christ that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. I find that word there, some, pretty interesting because, as Paul says elsewhere, well, I mean, do all have this gift? Does everybody an apostle? Is everybody a prophet? Does everybody speak in tongues? Does everybody? Well, no. He distributes his gifts differently, and to some people, to some, he has given a gift of evangelism. He has given that to some, but not to all. Some have the gift, and others don't have the gift. But just because, let's say, I don't have the gift of evangelism, doesn't mean that I can't do evangelism. Okay, just because I'm not gifted in that way doesn't mean I can't be about it in some way. And let me give you an example from a different a gift of the Spirit. The gift of hospitality, that's just one of the listed gifts. In fact, it is a gift that is required for the leader of a church, the elder, the pastor. He needs to be hospitable. And I would have to say, I don't have the gift of hospitality. That's really not the way that I'm wired. It's just not my first, thing that I'm about. But just because I don't have the gift of hospitality, I still need to be hospitable, right? I mean, I can't be a jerk to people. You know, I may not excel in hospitality, but I can still be hospitable in the way that I deal, with other people. And the same is true for evangelism. For some people, evangelism is easy. I mean, it is just the way God has wired them, the way God has gifted them in a certain way. For some people, evangelism is easy, but I would say for most, it is challenging. I mean, to use Gene's thing, can I get an amen on that? You know, I mean, do you find evangelism something that's challenging? Well, I think to those that it isn't necessarily the gifting that the Holy Spirit has gifted us, some of us are going to find evangelism a little more challenging. And I think that is okay. I don't see a condemnation in Scripture for those that find evangelism a little more difficult and challenging if it's not the way God has gifted us. I would have to say that it is not my gift. Hopefully God has gifted me in another way. Every Christian has a gift, but it's not an area in which I personally excel in. I was going to give some of my examples of evangelism. I want to start off with one of my wife's examples. She was talking to a neighbor. And we hadn't known her too long, with this neighbor. And while they were engaged in conversation, a friend of ours just happened to drop over. And she just walks up and engages in the conversation. And if I remember it correctly, babe, it's just like she walked up and introduced herself to this person she has never met before. Hi, my name is Kathy. And has anybody ever told you about Jesus? I mean, it was just boom, the first thing out of her mouth. And my wife is like, wow, I've had conversations with this neighbor, you know, on several occasions over several weeks or months. And I've never said that. But here this gal shows up and first thing out of her mouth is, hey, has anybody ever told you about Jesus? Well, here's a lady that's obviously, I think, gifted in evangelism. It's just what she does. But it was a challenge for my wife. Hey, well, this is something I ought to be about, even though it's maybe not my first nature in it. But let me just say this. You don't have to excel in something in order to engage in something. And I think that sometimes we feel that because I don't excel in evangelism, and it's not my thing, then somehow I don't have to be engaged in it. And I think that's where we all of us ought to be challenged, because we don't have to excel in something in order to engage in something. And I'll use an example from just a few weeks ago. June was gone and he was on vacation. Well, we needed someone to lead the singing in church. Okay, so who is going to sing and to take June's place in singing and leading the music? Well, I led the singing. Well, guess what? It wasn't real great. It wasn't really good. I don't sing that well. It's not something that I am necessarily gifted in. But just because I don't sing like June and I don't have his gift, does that mean that I can't sing? Well, no. I mean, it's, June probably sings every day. Every day, several times a week, he is before people singing. For me, it's a rarity. I'll sing, we'll have the Lord's Supper, I'll sing, on a rare occasion, I'll blurt out, a hymn or something. It's not something I do all the time, but it doesn't mean I can't do it.
What if we fast
a couple
collections and we just sang better?
Well, I don't know. Maybe if I sang every day, I'd get better. But just because it's not my first primary gift doesn't mean that I can't engage in it. I can still do it when I have the opportunity to do it, even though I'm not great at it. And that's okay. In fact, that's one of the reasons I do it as a, as a testimony that, hey, you don't have to be great at it to do it. It's all right. And sometimes I think we shy away from it just because it's not my great gift. Guess what? We're probably not going to be Billy Graham in our evangelism. Yes. It's just not going to happen. God gifted Billy that away. He didn't gift me that away. Well, am I just not going to do it because I'm not him? No, just we got to use kind of what we got and how God gifted us. Does that make sense? Just kind of my way of a little bit of
commission. We're all commanded to go.
Yeah, we're all commanded to do it, and some of us are great at it and gifted at it, and others it's a little more challenged, but we still got to do it. Yeah. But it's going to look different for all of us, and I would want to get across. It's okay. I think that's fine. I think sometimes that we, bring a guilt trip on people because we don't do it like Billy, Well, I can't get onto myself because I don't sing like June. It ain't gonna happen. It's just not. I mean, and that's all right, And so, so when we're about evangelism, let me just make some observations about evangelism that we see in the Bible. And we've gone over these before, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here. But when we look at especially how Jesus did evangelism, there is not one scenario or one way to go doing about evangelism. There is not a set step by step, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. It's just, this is evangelism. It is set forth in many different scenarios and many different ways, kind of depending on the circumstances. And let me just mention three big ones. Jesus confronts Nicodemus. Here's a guy who is a religious elite, steeped in religion. So Jesus goes after him on, guess what, guy? That doesn't mean a hill of beans, and you got to have the new birth. You got to be born again. That was his tact with the religious elite. Now he took a little different tact with the woman at the well. With the woman at the well, he kind of used her physical need for water, and he drew attention to a spiritual need that she had, and maybe what about this thirst in your life? And then he did something that, boy, we would probably never do. He said, "Oh, go call your husband." Why don't we talk about your sexual history here? And so he confronts her about her sexual sins, and she goes away. Hey, come meet this guy that told me everything that I ever did. Wow, that's a little different tact in how to go about evangelism. Or the rich young ruler, a guy who was so self-righteous, and he thought, man, I had kept the whole law, and so what do I lack? How do I get into heaven? Well, with that guy, Jesus confronted him with the Ten Commandments. He used the Ten Commandments as an evangelistic tool because this guy had a misunderstanding of his meeting God's requirements. Oh, you think you've actually kept God's commandments? You think you really love your neighbor as yourself? Well, go ahead and sell everything you have and give to the poor. Let's just see if you really love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, the guy didn't, because he didn't understand that he was a sinner, that he didn't, keep God's commandments. So Jesus took very different tacks depending on the scenario. And I think just by way of application, there is no one way to go about doing evangelism. And I think that taught to encourage us in our various interactions with the people that are outside at the outside the faith. And so let me just give you some personal examples, just some anecdotal stuff, just from my own experience. And I really doubt, in fact, I'm pretty sure that these examples will not make it into a how-to book on how to evangelize put out by the SBC. They're not going to say, "Hey, you know, let's put this into practice, and this is how it's going to get people to evangelize." Because my life experience, especially, you know, in adult life, I mean, I grew up in the church, adult life and work, my life experience has been lived outside of Christian circles. That is not besides the circle of my family. My life has been lived outside of really the influence of the Christian life, or people even trying to think that they're living the Christian life. I think of Garth Brooks' song, you know, "I got friends in low places, you know, where the whiskey's rounds and the beer chases." I mean, that's just the people that I know, that I've rubbed shoulders with, just regular people, but not Christian people. In fact, I think I could say that I could count the number of Christians that I have worked with in my life on one hand, and I could have fingers left over. That's just been my experience. That's just who I have worked around, around my whole life. And so here are the headings of some of my examples of unconventional evangelism. It's had to do around cussing, pornography, dirty jokes, and beer. Okay? Now, those are not the four spiritual laws, you know, Bill Bright's four spiritual laws, that's how you do evangelism. My four spiritual opportunities have been cussing, pornography, dirty jokes, and beer. I also got a few extra there. I don't know if we'll have time to get to it. But needless to say, it has been unconventional. But I have found that my unconventional experiences has led to some interesting conversations. And so let me just, in a PG format here, try to share a little bit on that. First of all, cussing. The language that I have been inundated with, primarily on, you know, the job sites and in my just adult shoulder-to-shoulder world, the language is colorful at best. I mean, it is just incessant cussing. Every paragraph, or not every sentence, it's just like it is flavored with an expletive. I mean, it's amazing with the poor command of the English language. I mean, can't we talk without, you know, uttering and dropping a curse word? Well, I that's been my environment. Hear it all the time, every day. I mean, hundreds of times a day. Well, that created a problem for me as a Christian. And so it really became a problem. Not with these words that I was hearing coming out of my mouth. That wasn't what I was struggling with. But all of these words that I were hearing were in my brain. I was hearing them. They were rattling around my brain. What am I going to do with this filthy language that I'm swimming in every day? And to combat this, inside as a Christian trying to have a clear mind, to combat this, I began to try to train my mind to respond to cussing with a little snide remark internally. I would hear a, you know, common phrase, and so I would just come up with a little snarky, just a comeback, something for me to say within my brain, so that when I would hear something, it would automatically, you know, go to something else to combat it. And at first, these little comebacks were only internal. I would just say them in my mind. But eventually, I started on occasion to verbalize them. I would hear them all the time. And so I would hear something, these things that I began to try to think in my mind, I started trying to say out loud. And I tell you, on a job site, you hear a lot about God. You hear a lot about Jesus Christ. You hear a lot about hell. And you hear a lot about damnation. I mean, it is everywhere. In fact, I would be so bold to say you hear more talk about hell in the pagan world than you do in the church world. I mean, it's all the time. And it's just like, hey, what an opportunity. Because this subject matter is brought up all the time. I mean, I don't even have to bring it up. They're talking about it. They're talking about God. They're talking about Jesus Christ. They're talking about hell and damnation. And so now they're not talking about it in a godly way, but it was a segue, an opportunity to respond with these little remarks in my mind and to say, hey, I'll just start saying them out loud. You know, and so you hear something and just like, you know what? God is going to damn people. And maybe I'm not in the position to tell him who he's going to damn, but God is going to damn people. What's that?
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact. Well, you brought it up. Well, yeah, you're right. God is going to damn a people. It was kind of amazing to me, and I still hear it quite a bit, even though now I'm bivocational in the church. But still, quite often you hear people that they will talk and mention the attributes of God and the perfections of His character. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Or God Almighty. Hear that? Well, yes, He is. Is that right? Yes, He is. Yes, He is merciful. Yes, He is Almighty. How often our Lord's name is dragged through the mud and His name taken in vain and used as a curse. I hear the precious name. You say that, you know, that's my Savior. He's the only Savior. You know, instead of just in my mind trying to, you know, fight this fight, let it come out of my mouth sometime. You know, if someone takes our Lord's name and says, hey, that's the Savior. You know, and that's my Savior. In fact, I even had times someone would apologize to me afterwards. Have you ever had that? You know, I say it. Oh, realize, oh, now that's right. You know, he's a Christian. He's a priest. You know, I shouldn't say that. Well, I just, you know, really, I'm not the one you should apologize to. It's not my name. You really need to talk to him about it. And so, I have found many, many, many opportunities to at least put in a word in response to the cursing that I have heard incessantly in my life. I cannot tell you how many times, especially in the summer, there are complaints about the hot temperature and comparing it to the temperature of hell. Oh, you know, and there is this comparison. Well, you know what, guy? I don't think it's that hot. You know what? I mean, it's pretty hot here, but not as near as hot as it's going to be there. Just a little comment. Just a little throwing something out there, because they're bringing it up. You're the one that brought up hell, not me. And even the very temperature of it. And also, I mean, you know, something gets so crass, you know, about God's good gift of marriage and sexuality. And so I would just start saying, God, you need to get married. You know, you need to find a wife. You know, I mean, just to throw it out there. And again, this started with, what do I do with this stuff that I am hearing? My mind is just being full of this stuff I'm hearing. And so I can't say, you know, all of these because sometimes it's crass in the way, but I hope that gives you a flavor in just taking the opportunity of what is being said. In my instance, it was the cursing, and to try to turn it in a way. Yes, sir.
Well, it's general guidance in the white collar world is proselytizing in a workplace, even at the water cooler or the break room, is a no-no. Mm-hmm. But if they open the door, what do you know about that God you use to damn people?
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the ones I hear, you know, people, you know, they'll say, OMG, oh my God. And I'll say, who is that? Who is your God? You know, I mean, you're going to take that title. So who is your God? You know, and so it was just, it was just the way that I have gone about it. In fact, they used expletives all the time. I started using my own expletives. And my own expletives were Esau's wife's name, because his wives were a curse to his parents. And so I was Aholabama, Basemath. You know, what in the world are you saying? You know, well, you know, and it's just like, Aholabama, you know, what are you? But it was just a weird way to make him think. Or they would say something like, well, it's sure as hell. Well, hell is sure, but I would say sure as heaven. You know, heaven is just as sure as hell is. Well, just as a little bit of comeback. Now, is that evangelism? I don't know if you could classify that as evangelism and coming up with your own expletives and replying to the cursing of the world and trying to.
Sure, you are planting seeds.
But to me, it was just it started out as just a way to combat the filth I was hearing and trying to deal with it in a way. And say, maybe I could say some of this and might get someone, you know, someone to thank. In fact, somebody look up Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. This is a great, I think, a great verse for evangelism, something that I think we can apply to everyday life for whatever it is in your situation. In fact, I might recommend this for a good memory verse. Someone got it there? Colossians 4 and verse 6.
Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Okay. Let your conversation, the way that we talk, be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that we would know how we should respond to everyone. You know, just as part of living our Christian life, I think that we need to sprinkle some spirituality into our everyday conversation. People are talking about stuff all the time. How do you, you know, turn and, you know, just sprinkle a little bit of grace and sprinkle a little bit of salt in whatever the conversation is. For me, most of the conversation was cussing conversation. So, how do you do that? How do you respond? Well, I think Colossians 4 and verse 6 was just a good, practical, helpful verse. Let our conversations be full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that we would know how to respond. So my first spiritual law of unconventional evangelism is cursing. The next one was I got time. The next one is pornography. We live in a pornographic world. I don't know. I'm sure you're aware of it, but it is everywhere. In fact, more everywhere now. My kids, you know, are going to be exposed to a lot more of it than I was. Well, in my work life, something that was very prevalent. In fact, once I moved up and was running some shops, I had control over the radio, and so I would play, you know, bot radio. You're hearing sermons all day long and make the guys that hear it. But one thing that I would say that would always, or not always, but at times would come up is both from the guys working there as well as the secretaries in the office, is they would like to come and they would put pinups in our our workstation. I mean, whether it's the guys or the girls. I mean, for some reason, I don't know if it was just to rub me the wrong way, or I mean, but it kind of became a game at times. They would put them up, and I would take them down. They would put them up, and I would take them down, and it just kind of became a fight back and forth. And so, you know, what do I do? You know, well, here's an opportunity for some evangelism. And so how did I, you know, evangelize in that? Well, I got a piece of a yellow pad and I wrote a verse on it. In fact, I wrote a couple of verses on it and I just pinned it right next to the pin-up naked lady, you know, at work. And it said this, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." So I just like, what do I do? So I just wrote it out and I just stick it right up next to that. And I did it, one, as a safeguard for me, but also as an evangelism for others. Is that evangelism?
Yeah.
Is that a way in our pornographic age, and when it's just everywhere and you can't get away from it? Is that a way to show some good news in the midst of all the bad news? I don't know. It's been my experience, a little bit of unconventional evangelism, maybe. Something else maybe tied along that is dirty jokes. I don't know in your rubbing shoulders with folks, you know, hear the dirty jokes, not an uncommon thing in my experience in work life. And I can't share specifics here, but I'll just have to say, you know, again, and not just in replies, but I try not to laugh. You know, they try to get you to laugh. You know, especially if they know you're a Christian, but I try not to laugh, but then also to respond in a way, you know, in general, because, you know, I'll have to say, at least in my experience, marriage and wives, it's just terrible how the institution of marriage and wives is often discussed amongst pagan men. It is mocked in jokes, just in conversation. Marriage and the marital union, you know, is a picture of the gospel. That's what the scripture says. Hey, this is the good news. Marriage is a good thing, and yet it is consistently torn down. It has been in my experience. And so whether it's the dirty joke or just the way they would speak of their wives or infidelity. Okay, you come into that and you speak the truth and you speak the gospel. And I tried to take the opportunity when those things were said, or a dirty joke or whatever, to take the opportunity to honor my wife. To honor the institution of marriage. In fact, I was known as the dude with all the kids. You know, that was me. In fact, I did a job this last week. I haven't done anything for this guy in about 10 years. And, you know, introduced me to these other people. Oh, how many kids you got? You know, I'm just the dude with all the kids.
With the same wife.
Yeah, the dude with all the kids, with you know, with the same, and that is key there. But to think that marriage is good, that having children is good, is such a weird message to put out in this world. In fact, it was so weird. Man, are you Catholic? Are you Mormon? You know, I mean, it's just you know, and just to make a stand for the beauty of marriage and the blessing of children, I don't know, is that evangelism? Is that a way to put in a good word for God's good institution? Is standing up for the design of marriage as being a good thing, is that evangelistic? honoring a marriage, loving a wife, and believing that children are a blessing is an unconventional message to a corrupt world. And I do think it is a, you might say it is an unconventional way to spread God's word. Because marriage is a picture of the gospel. And so if you think of that, just think in how in our world, the gospel is being corrupted on every stage. And so just to, I don't know, you know, taking those opportunities when marriage is trashed, to put in a good word for God's good institution. I remember working with a guy. He was kind of a hedonist. He was a hedonist. And we were working together doing this job up at Grand Lake, bigger job. We had to stay in a motel together. And this guy's kind of ribbing me a little bit, but he had a great misconception on what Christian marriage was. What the Bible said about it. And so I remember sitting in a motel room with this guy. And so I said, hey, I got my Bible out. And so I started reading to him from the book of Song of Solomon. Now, I recommend to married couples that you read Song of Solomon to one another. It's a great book. It's an erotic book. But I'll have to say it was a little bit weird reading Song of Solomon to this dude. It was a little bit odd, talking about some of the innuendo and the stuff going on there. But I tell you, in that conversation, this guy was shocked at the spicy nature of that section of Scripture. And how God designed the beauty of marriage and the marital union. But was that sharing some good news? Was that evangelism to a hedonist? I don't know. I kind of think it was. Again, not your typical way of going about evangelism, but it's been. My experience in it. Let me mention one more. We're kind of getting close, but I mentioned cussing and my non-four spiritual laws: cussing, pornography, dirty jokes, and beer. I was working with this guy. We're working down at the base down at Lawton. Again, staying with him in a hotel after work that day. We go to get dinner, get some pizza. He gets a six pack and brings it back. We're sitting in the, sitting in the motel. So we're sitting there eating, and so he offers me a beer. And he says, you want a beer? I said, yeah, I'll take a beer. And he looked at me and he was going, you know what? I thought you were a Christian. And I thought Christians didn't drink beer. And I was like, so I cracked it open and we're eating pizza. And I said, well, I mean, some Christians don't, they abstain. They never touch the stuff. And other Christians do drink beer. And I'm going to a verse in Romans 14 and verse 7, that says, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating or drinking, but it's of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you know that his total conception of Christianity, his total understanding, or I would say misunderstanding of the gospel, was Christians never touched beer. That was it. And I will have to tell you, I had a great conversation with this guy about the Bible, eating pizza and drinking beer. It opened up a door for me to share the gospel with a guy that totally misunderstood the gospel. Now, I'll have to say, that is not going to make it into the Southern Baptist Convention rule on how do you go about doing evangelism. It's cussing, it's pornography, dirty jokes, and drinking beer. But I'll have to say that in my life experience as a Christian, living out most of my Christian life in a pagan context, that is the context in which I have attempted to live out my Christianity. Now, the context that I've had to live it out for most of my life is going to be different than the context in which you live out your Christianity. I would hope to say that most of my job experience might look a little different than Stephanie. Stephanie probably didn't have that in the church office so much, you know, the cussing and all. I hope that will, you know, so it's going to look different for her. It's going to look different for everybody depending on the context that that God has put you in. But God has put you in that context and those scenarios to take advantage of it, however it plays itself out. Your life is going to look different than mine. But guess what? Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Try to take advantage of the situation that you find yourself in order to speak up for the faith. However that is, it's going to look different for all of us. Now, I don't know if this is what people had in mind. They said, man, you got to give us some experiences. And how do you go about doing evangelism? Because my experiences don't fit the plan. They just don't. And I think that, you know, that's all right. But
didn't you witness to the man at the lake after your encounter?
Yes.
That was one that happened, you know, this summer. In fact, it had something to do with beer, though I wasn't drinking beer at that time, but he had been drinking beer. For those of you that don't, is it all right if I share that? Yeah, my wife and I, we went down and spent a few days at the lake, and so we were out floating on the rafts and we could hear there was a group. They were partying it up pretty good, a little bit loud, ruckus, and a fight started to break out between this guy and these several women. And man, they were really yelling at each other back and forth. And so he really started threatening these gals. So we're sitting out there, and in the midst of it, he walks away, and then he comes back and goes, and then he hauls off and he just decks this woman. And she just fell like a sack of potatoes. And so we're in the water and we see it happen. And so boom, we come in quick because there's this guy beating up this woman. And so we, get in between, try to make sure she's all right and she's bleeding and all this stuff. And so I kind of enter into a conversation with him and trying to say, it's what a coward he is and hitting a woman and back and forth. But anyway, the short of the story is that in the interaction, he hauls off and hits me. And now I have to say that when he hit me, I just like, wow, I took that punch pretty well. And if that is all this dude has, he's really in trouble, you know? And he hit me, and I said, I am a Christian, and my Lord has told me to turn the other cheek. And so I have turned one cheek, but he has only told me to turn it one time. And so you need to walk away. And then it kind of opened up a conversation, and he was a little bit wasted. But anyway, I had a little bit of opportunity to talk to him about repenting from his sin, thank the Lord it didn't escalate too much further, and the police came and they hauled him away in the ambulance, and they were, tending to the lady. But okay, there's another evangelism experience. A drunk guy hits a woman and then he hits me. What do you do? Well, try to apply the scripture, and dude, you need to repent. Because he tried to make a claim that he was a Christian. He just got out of prison and he thought he was a Christian. And I said, you are not a Christian. A Christian does not act this way, and you need to repent. You need to believe, this is not the way a Christian acts. So that's not going to make it into a how-to evangelism either, but that's been my experience. And again, that was my experience this summer. And so hopefully you won't get slugged, but if you do, use it as an opportunity to to evangelize.
Well, it shows us that we can use every day, so to speak, opportunities to witness. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens.
Yeah. Well, to apply another section of scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6 teaches us, how to raise our family and our children. And, it's not just, okay, you take them, drop them off at Sunday school, once a week, and that's how they're going to learn the faith. No. It's, you talk about it when you sit down and when you rise up, when you go to bed. All aspects of life and how you do life, you are implanting and talking about God's law and God's truth and God's God. I mean, it is a constant. Your conversation is full of grace and seasoned with salt in every area of life. Well, that's kind of how we should do evangelism. In every area of life, look for an opportunity to have your conversation full of grace and seasoned with salt. And again, our situations are going to look different. Mine just happened to be around a bunch of drunks and cussins that's my scenario. So that's kind of what I got to work with. But.
And I'd say, honestly, that sounds more practical, because a lot of the things I've read over the years on how to evangelize seem to be written with the assumption that the people you're going to reach are coming to church and acting like Christians already, and they're setting up the conversation based on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, and you can write something down in a scenario on paper, but it doesn't play out in reality all the time, And so it's going to be different, and so we kind of have to adapt. And I think sometimes we shy away from it because, man, I haven't learned this step. I mean, we have to know the gospel. I mean, we got to know the scripture and able to tell people about it. But the way we go about it is just going to be different. I think it's been different for me. And I have to say, I don't think I've ever, maybe some of these things I've shared before, but that's just, by God's providence, that's where he's had me. So that's, and maybe that's why I'm such an odd duck. But Jim, yes, sir.
I heard someone use this example that someone was taking the Lord's name in vain, and he said, "Oh, I didn't know you knew God so well that you could ask him to damn someone to hell."
Yeah, there's a good response.
And I thought, well, that's a different way of trying to talk to someone about the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the response was from that man, because they didn't go on with the illustration, but I thought that at least that's some way of responding to someone that's using the Lord's name in vain in that way.
Yeah. Because they're the ones bringing up his name or his attributes or what he's going to do. So just to, in some way, to take advantage of it. And like John said, just to plant a seed. It's not a long conversation. It's just you made a snide remark. I'm going to make one. I don't know. Well, that's just a few of my thoughts on unconventional evangelism. Anything else y'all have that you want to add to that? I don't know if that was encouraging or not, because, like I said, your life is going to look different than mine. But that's, that's my anecdotal stories about,
When I was in Italy, we were on several tours, and there was this gentleman who had this big mustache, and he sat pretty close to us, and we were talking, and then we were out about on one of the tours, and he was talking about God. When you go to Italy, it seems like there's a lot about dealing with religion. Mm-hmm. It may be in a Catholic form, but it's a lot dealing with religion, because of the artwork and everything. And so, well, anyway, so eventually he says, "What do you think about this?" And then he said, and he made this comment. I didn't even ask him to come out with this at all. He says, "I'm an atheist." And from that point on, I was just praying for him all through the trip, because I knew he was already set, locked dead in his ways. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Waiting for a fight.
Yep.
He says, "Christians cannot answer all my questions." But I just pray for him. That was another way of evangelizing.
And I don't we don't have to force evangelism. I don't think that you know, if someone didn't want to hear it, that's fine. Jesus says if you go to a town and they don't receive you, he said just shake the dust off going down the road. It's okay. You don't have to argue with anybody. If they don't want to listen, they don't have to listen. You know, I mean, if they want to talk, great. But we don't have to force the issue. I don't think that we should, you know. But.
And Tim, I think too, for those times when I have felt like the Lord had given me an opportunity to share the gospel and I didn't take it, mm-hmm. and then regretted it afterwards, mm-hmm. and wished I had had the words to say, mm-hmm. God's not going to lose one. Mm-hmm. I won't get the glory or the crown or mm-hmm. the jewel in my crown for not sharing, mm-hmm. but God's not going to lose one because I didn't share the gospel.
Yeah, he'll raise up somebody.
He's going to raise up somebody else, or the rocks will cry out, or mm-hmm. something. God is sovereign, and that there's hope in that. There's comfort in that. I want to be a good witness for Jesus and to be comfortable in doing that, or uncomfortable mm-hmm. in doing that. But I think that it kind of takes the pressure off, except when you want to be obedient, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
There's that aspect too, but God's not going to lose one. So you can't put that pressure on somebody. Well, you didn't take that opportunity, so they're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's not going to be people in hell because I didn't. You know, I didn't say so because, as you said, you know, if I refuse to do what I'm responsible for, God will raise up somebody else. You know, but I need to be responsible. I need, you know, that my responsibility is to share, and he's going to hold me responsible for that. But
there's another story that I guess I should share it too. Also, this couple, they were from Kentucky, and they're apparently in some kind of Christian Baptist church, I think, something like that. Well, anyway, the lady walked up to me and she says, and she put me on a spot. She goes, "Are you a pastor?" And I go, I sing the gospel in my church. I sing and lead praise and worship. She says, I knew that by the way you were carrying yourself as you were a Christian. I said, okay, God. You know, I didn't say nothing to this woman. She's been watching me all through this whole situation.
Did you tell her your church in Kentucky was Church of Alabama?
No.
Right.
Well, yes, sir.
When I had my handyman business, I would hire lowlifes, as you call them. They just couldn't do anything but put a four-letter word. And I made it explicitly clear, if you use foul language in my presence, you're fired. And I fired one man, and the rest of them were all right.
Yep. Well, when you're the boss, you can do that. When you're the grunt, you can't. But, well, like I said, just hope is, you know, it's an encouragement for you to make the application to where God has you, you know, in life. And it doesn't have to look like, you know, everybody else. That's okay.
And living your life as a Christian is a witness mm-hmm. to people around you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about, I think, last time that we have, you know, it's evangelism by mouth and evangelism by life. And our life actually speaks louder than our mouth. Because, you know, if our life doesn't match our mouth, it's going to, you know, then we're just going to come across as a bunch of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we close in prayer and then we'll call it a night. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for putting us in the places that you have at in our families, our homes, our schools and work and the church and just our environment. And Lord, give us the courage, give us the words to say, to put in a good word for your son who is the good news. And in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.